Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Good to be with you. Happy Monday. I was messaging with Katie last night to get the show in order, making sure she was prepared for today adequately. Checking in. Not really. I mean, sort of. But not in a weird way.
No, not at all.
Katie talks about the Sunday Scaries.
All the time.
Never heard of the Sunday Scaries.
Have you, Tony? Do you know what the Sunday Scaries are?
Like being afraid to go back to work on Monday?
Yeah, like your anxiety starts to build and then you make all the lists in your head that you didn't do this weekend that you have to do Monday.
I've never heard it referred to as that.
What?
Yes, I know the feeling. I don't know the phrase.
Yeah. Sorry. Yep, it's the Sunday Scaries.
Mm-mm.
You can't go to bed.
Millennials.
Did you ever heard anybody else say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely. They like write articles about it and everything.
Every time I see it, I'm like,
who's they?
Well, this is going to be your favorite news source. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
BuzzFeed
is a cat blog run by unhappy people in Brooklyn.
And Rob Kramer's sister-in-law or something like that.
It's like people.com.
I was hoping you'd say BuzzFeed.
Yep. It's not like Fox News is writing about the Sunday Scaries.
Here's another thing. You know, like, you're going to a meeting, It's a big meeting. Maybe it's a budget meeting. Maybe it's a meeting to put together a proposal or something. My generation and the birth of the infographic, where when you could have something that's just on a chart, an Excel spreadsheet right here in my hands, I can look, I can read the chart. Millennials are like, what if we had pictures? And then, you know, I can understand if you're wanting to present something to somebody, but if it's like a... If it's just a piece of information I need to know,
just say it.
I don't need a cute little character like a tomato that's smiling at me, being like, don't forget to eat your vegetables. My kids go, Mom, a tomato is a fruit.
You get it.
Well, what kind of fruit do you put in your salad? I put strawberries in my salad, so just back off.
Back off.
Don't bully me, children.
I can't believe neither one of you have heard of the Sunday Scaries. Or if it...
I'm familiar with it now.
Putting that term.
Only because of you.
I mean, I figured it out. I understood what you were saying.
Sleuth.
I got it.
The big news of the day is that the NYPD commissioner has fired the officer that was accused in Eric Garner's death. Remember, I can't breathe. So that has happened today. Daniel Pantaleo. I hope I said that right. The New York City police officer accused in the 2014 death of Eric Garner that sparked nationwide outrage has been fired. Commissioner James O'Neill announced Monday afternoon, spurring a furious response from the department's police union, which blasted the decision as caving to, quote, anti-police extremists. I guess this has to be litigated in public. I guess this is something that has to be out there. I mean, the initial story of Eric Garner. I mean, it was a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. He was selling cigarettes.
Yep.
Which you can't do. What's the New York law? Like, you have to have a license to sell cigarettes or something. So he was selling.
I imagine that's the law everywhere.
He was selling them secondhand. Like, he was dealing cigarettes. like cigarettes.
I think like by in singles.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And the situation escalated. The guy put him in a chokehold. He dies. He says he can't breathe, which is why that the "I can't breathe" phrase happening in conjunction with the "hands up, don't shoot" phrase, this all coming together in the, you know, creation and elevation of the idea of Black Lives Matter, this situation to be put out there for the public, this guy should either be fired or not be fired based on his actions. Should the public outcry have any bearing on whether or not this guy loses his job? Shouldn't he keep his job or lose his job based on his decision making at the time? You know, if you get public pressure to go ahead and act and do something, it's not, in my opinion, the right reason to do that. So that's the news of the day. And as I said, the head of the police union there, not too happy about it. None too happy. 314-241-9797, if you would like to give us a call. 314-241-9797. We spoke with Chris Farrell, who is the Judicial Watch Director of Investigations and Research, earlier today in the 12 o'clock hour, which you can catch on the podcast at radio.com. And he was talking to us about this Inspector General report that's supposed to be coming out soon. We've been hearing that for a while, so I'm not holding my breath, but it is coming. And they're saying that it's going to be ugly and damning for the Department of Justice. And we've heard the Obama administration tied into that story as well. So I want to get to some of these phone calls here. As I said, 314-241-9797. If you'd like to join us, let's start with Steve. Thanks for calling the show.
Hi. Yeah, I don't suffer from the Sunday scaries anymore because I'm recently retired.
But
I'm kind of glad you guys do, because I enjoy listening to you every day.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. We'll have the Sunday scaries for you.
Yeah. So Mr. Farrell made a comment about this percentage that's been bandied about by a lot of people in the media about how 99% of the FBI or the DOJ are responsible. And he said he thinks it's closer to 75%. I've wondered about that for a while, because in years past, I think it was easier, actually, for whistleblowers to come forward. And absolutely nobody has been, you know, corroborating what it seems like the investigative journalists have been coming up with, you know, and that's despite there's a lot of current lip service for whistleblowing with big corporations and departments and that. And I just think too many bureaucrats are letting their politics influence their job.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, Steve, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for spending your retirement listening to us. Great to have you there. I question that too. It depends on how long the system has been shady. How long have people felt as though they can manage things in the background so that the simple folks like you and me, things get taken care of. I mean, that's the talk of conspiracy theories. But the more we find out from Judicial Watch, the more we will find out from the Inspector General's report will guide us in knowing who in the DOJ was behaving appropriately and who wasn't. And the only way to fix it is to call it out. So I'm grateful for Horowitz's work in the Inspector General's report. I'm looking forward to seeing what is in there. And I'm not going to jump the gun on the things that are being revealed, what they mean in their entirety. I'm afraid that people just don't care anymore. I'm afraid that people are so sick and tired of this. They're so sick and tired of the tribalism, of politics. I mean, what's the one consensus? You go out and you ask 100 people on the street walking from their job to their parking lot or from lunch back to their desk. What percentage of those 100 people out there are going to say that all politicians are crooked?
A big percentage, I'd say.
A majority? Mm-hmm. How many of them are going to, would you be surprised to know, and without naming parties, affiliations, or maybe outcomes, but that this person in government did X, Y, and Z, that it was background nefarious. How many of them are going to be surprised by that? I think that it's just the blanket understanding that they're all bad,
mm-hmm.
which is not true. Like, I've said this many times about politicians. There are a lot of fantastic humans out there that are politicians. You don't know their names because they're not doing everything they can to be in the public eye.
Sure.
They're probably just serving. You know, we just had Derek Heath on, who's a trustee for the Collinsville Township. Probably not going to be having a lot of Collinsville Township trustee conversation on the show on a regular basis or something that is that hyper-local. But it's just very interesting to see how one person who sees an issue, who goes and notices that there's a problem in your community, you finally say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to see what happens. And the more you get into it, the more awful, it's worse than you could have ever imagined that it would possibly be. So when we uncover everything, if we find out this was all planned by Barack Obama, if the entire Russia collusion story was contrived by Barack Obama alone, who's going to care? Haven't we all made up our mind on whether we like Trump or not? Haven't we all made up our mind whether or not we like Obama? Don't people who love Trump think, well, he's doing the best he can for the country? Don't people who love Obama think he did what he needed to do to protect the country from Donald Trump?
Pretty much.
So, if winning and losing is arbitrary, if it's relative to the side that you support, if right and wrong and the moral line of good and bad is relative, who cares about facts? Who cares about what comes out?
How many people do you believe think that this Russia probe stopped after Mueller's testimony?
It depends on your party affiliation. I think there are people who support the president who, if they were to find out that the president did kind of dabble in some Russia stuff that put him in a gray area, that they'd still think Trump was better than Hillary and they'd still be okay with that. And I'm not one of those people. I know there are people who think that I'm like that, but I'm not. The president didn't steal the election from the American people. He did not work with Russia to steal the election. It didn't happen. So I support this president. He won fair and square. And if you don't like the Electoral College, change it. If we were to get into 2020 and somehow or another Elizabeth Warren were to win the Electoral College and Trump won the popular vote, it's just a really fun thought experiment. Not going to happen. What happens then? Do we have continued and elevated protests to abolish the Electoral College? No, you won't. And if you're in a non-hyper-populous place, if you're not in probably the top five populous cities, forget about your vote ever counting for anything, because everything, if we were to go to a popular vote, everything would be dictated by these very populated, dense areas. Your vote would be diminished. The Electoral College is brilliant. And states' rights is brilliant. And that is what makes us all be able to live as closely to the way that we want to. And if you are somebody who is living in rural Missouri and you're living with a bunch of other people living in rural Missouri and you want to have laws, rules, and regulations in your state that you prefer that maybe somebody in California wouldn't. Maybe you don't mind drinking out of a plastic straw. Maybe a plastic straw doesn't trigger you when you go to McDonald's and you get the best Diet Coke that exists. Maybe you're fine with plastic straws. And you don't feel as though it's the government's job to litigate what kind of straw you drink your Diet Coke from. That's the benefits of states' rights. If you think that plastic straws are the worst thing in the world, go to California. They're banned. You can't use them there. That's the point. That's the point of states' rights. It gives us the opportunity to have more control closer to the individual, further away from a large, overreaching federal government. It's on purpose, folks. It's very, very purposeful. More phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. Wanted to get your take on this, and we'll have a discussion. You can check us out on our YouTube webcam as well at FM News Talk 97.1 on YouTube. Go subscribe to us there. You'll get notified when we go live, as well as the Mark Cox Show. I think the Tim Jones Show uses it. So you can watch us there, and you can join the chat. Lots of conversation happening today right there on YouTube at the FM News Talk 97.1 page. And you can also find the blog and everything that we do as far as interviews and conversations goes at 971talk.com/Annie. Phones are filling up. Grab a line while it's open. 314-241-9797. You on the show when we come back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Right now being reported at the Washington Examiner, Planned Parenthood will be foregoing as much as $60 million annually from a federal family planning program that will carry new anti-abortion rules. Quote, Planned Parenthood is still open. We are continuing to fight this rule in court, said Alexis McGill Johnson, acting president of Planned Parenthood. She told reporters today. She said the organization would do everything it could to make sure that clinics could stay open. According to the Washington Examiner here, the Trump administration is giving healthcare providers until midnight to comply with a new rule that says organizations that accept federal family planning grants cannot directly provide patients with an abortion referral. Critics of the rule call it a, quote, gag rule, because they say the government is forcing them to keep information from patients. Wow.
Dang.
You know, we talk about elections have consequences, at least as an Illinois resident myself. Elections has have consequences is usually a way of saying, suck it up, it's too late. Ouch. But I did not vote for President Trump so that we would have a strong, valiant fighter for the pro-life movement, for the unborn. I voted for President Trump because I did not want Hillary Clinton nominating Supreme Court justices. I voted for President Trump because I knew that Hillary Clinton wants to socialize healthcare. I voted for Donald Trump because I have seen what Hillary Clinton is capable of on a behind-the-scenes stage. I think she's corrupt. I certainly don't trust her. And I don't think she has my best interests at heart. I voted for Donald Trump because Hillary Clinton walks out and says, believe women. When we know the countless stories that we've heard of women who accused her husband of doing things, we have evidence now, evidence that those women should have been believed, but they were diminished. I know that story because Juanita Broderick was in town a couple years ago, and I sat and had a panel discussion with her where I read her book, heard her story, walked through her story, and heard her specific tale. Now, if we're going to believe women, do we believe Juanita Broderick? If a woman like Hillary Clinton wants to pick and choose which women are to be believed, that is tyrannical. And I don't want that in charge of our government. That's why I voted for Donald Trump. I hoped for the best because I felt Hillary Clinton was for sure the worst. And when elections have consequences, and we know what the Washington Examiner just reported there, that Planned Parenthood will forego $60 million from federal programs over a new abortion rule, I am very, very grateful that I voted the way I did. I would hope that, specifically in the state of Illinois, I know that there are a lot of fiscal issues at stake right now in the state of Illinois. It's going to continue to get more dire as we get closer to Election Day. They want the progressive income tax to pass for sure on the left. That's the crowning achievement of J.B. Pritzker if he's able to pull that off. But there is a lot headed the Illinois residents' direction as far as tax increases and budgets that continue to spend more money than we've ever spent while Illinois is taking in more money than it's ever taken in, and it's still not balanced. 314-241-9797. I want to get to some phone calls here. Some people have been waiting for a while. Let's get to first Steve. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, oh, just peachy. I want to ask a question, and maybe Tony might be better to answer this. I don't know. Or on his show on the weekend, maybe he can ask the guy who comes on there.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with the guy up in Illinois that did that mock assassination crap or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, whenever I went to a range, I used to go to outdoor range before I moved to Missouri. There was a police officer next to me, and I had Osama bin Laden targets, okay? They were paper targets, and, you know, I put those up at the range, and he told me that those are illegal. I could be essentially arrested for shooting at those because it had a distinguished, a distinguishable face of a person on the target, which is illegal.
Really?
And it's that's why when you go buy targets at the range and stuff like that, they're a silhouette. So that's one crime that I know of that's been broken there. And I also heard this from an ATF agent as well. So I do know this to be true.
The second thing
with this is, how is somebody able to do this and the Secret Service is not jumping and stomping a mud hole in them for doing this? This is a threat. You know, if it was Barack Obama that they were doing this to, you know darn well that person is going to be locked up and you're never going to hear from them again, as it should be.
You know, Steve, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. We'll look into that for you. I feel like it absolutely should be taken seriously. I think that, you know, within the confines of the law, you should make an example out of it. Because I don't think that it doesn't matter who's on the other end of that. The imagery is not good. I'm not for censorship, but I also think that the image is very frightening. And I think as a society, we need to have a higher standard. For sure. I don't know. Tony, do you know?
What he said about the shooting of the target, I believe, is accurate. But there's a big difference between shooting a real gun with live ammunition at a paper target that has the likeness of a real person on it and a fake gun. It wasn't a real AR. It wasn't a fake gun that had live ammunition. So, I mean, you could, at that point, essentially say it's almost like a staged performance,
I'm looking at an article from Slate, which is kind of funny because Slate's a far left publication, and it's from August 11th of 2010. Can you shoot an Obama target? And it says, a boardwalk game in New Jersey features a moving target of President Barack Obama. Contestants hurl baseballs in his direction. Pennsylvania Amusement Company pulled a target shooting game last week that included Obama's image. Is it legal to take aim at a representation of the president? The answer is absolutely. The First Amendment protects the right to free expression, which includes the right to shoot, burn, or in any way destroy an image of anyone, including the president, as long as you're not posing a credible threat to what Tony was saying. The standard here is whether there is a genuine intent to commit or incite violence, and also whether that violence is likely to actually occur. If there's no, quote, clear and present danger, there's no basis for censorship. So to your point on the actuality of the gun, the scenario, it seems as though there's a lot of gray area that suggests that they could at any time say, this is not lawful because of this, and this. And then you'd go to court and you would
It's stupid and wrong, but I don't know if it was against the law. And
let's not start litigating things that are stupid and wrong.
I also don't see a direct connection between the two that he seemed to be trying to make.
What's that?
Between shooting a target and a paper target at a shooting range with a live gun and what happened at the golf tournament.
There are many times, I mean, people have been hanging people in effigy forever to protest leaders, government officials, and I would say in essence that's not any different at all. If you're hanging somebody who bears the likeness or resemblance of a leader, it's kind of the old-fashioned way of doing.
That's probably illegal in some places though too. Maybe not federally, but
yeah, let's get to Ed's phone call. Ed, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
So just a quick comment about the Electoral College. I think it is brilliant, but the only changes I'd like to see is that the college votes get split up amongst districts, especially when you're in a blue or red state.
I was going to say, are you in Illinois?
No, actually, I'm on the other side of Missouri listening to you guys on the radio.
Radio.com. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, by listening to all this, I live in St. Charles. But split the votes up based on districts, because look at even blue states and red states. You know, you live in a blue state, your vote probably isn't going to count if you're Republican, because that electoral vote's going to go to whoever the biggest vote getter is. And so, if the only change I'd like to see is split up by districts amongst the states.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate the phone call. I mean, that's like an electoral college is electoral college.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that many times in Illinois where people wish that the weight of your vote would be based on a district as opposed to just total population. So, you know, I don't, if Chicago wants to be the way Chicago is, I don't want to take away what Chicago wants to be, but I don't want Chicago to bleed into what we want to do in Southern Illinois.
So do you think, I think we've had this discussion before, but do you think separating then, making Southern Illinois its own thing from Chicago would be something that could happen?
I think the conversation is very valuable. Mm-hmm. I think the discussion of it is important. I've asked legislators, do you find it more likely that we would actually legitimately, in reality, be able to separate from Chicago more likely than we would be able to fix Chicago?
Right. That's crazy.
Every time I've gotten the answer of separation is more likely.
Wow.
Chicago is the way it is. Separation is more likely. I'll tell you what, I'm watching Mike Madigan. I'm watching the circle of people who are supporting his legal costs right now. Lots of people he's given money to, giving money back to him. And it seems as though he might have some pending trouble. I don't know. I'm watching it. But he is a guy who's been doing this for a long time, and I'm sure his tracks are very covered. Let's give something away. Let's do caller number six right now. The correct caller number six will win a pair of tickets to the Cardinals versus the Reds baseball game Friday, August 30th. Each winner is also going to receive an exclusive Military Appreciation Night hat of their choice. There's a Marines hat, an Army hat, a Coast Guard, Navy, and an Air Force hat. And you can notify, if you're calling number six, notify Frank of which hat you would prefer. The Cardinals versus the Reds, August 30th. Caller number six to 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Caller number six will win a pair of Cardinals tickets for Friday, August 30th. When we come back, we're going to do Signs of the Apocalypse. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back. This is so funny, Katie. I sent this to Katie last night. So there's this report. This is a local television broadcast. This legit happened. We can share this video. I'll find it and share it.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic, and also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you? Tease it now, please.
No.
We're gonna
have to go to a commercial. No, we're
gonna
do it. Very good.
Oh god, it makes you laugh. Oh man, this is so funny.
I love it.
He's gonna blow it up.
And they could not hold it together.
So they called in a bomb threat
at a Home Depot.
You gotta take those things seriously.
Now, Signs of the Apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Congratulations, Chad from Edwardsville, who won the Cardinals tickets. Are we giving them away every day this week?
We are.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Keep listening.
So this was just handed to me by Katie.
This just handed me.
This just in. Pickle-filled Oreos are now a thing.
Mm-mm.
Barf.
So it's not. It doesn't look like it's officially by
Is it pickle Oreos. Flavor or is it pickles?
It's... Okay, so Christopher Beers, the owner of Grandpa Joe's Candy Shop, small bakery chain in Ohio and Pennsylvania, took it upon himself to transform beloved Oreo cookies into a briny treat by slapping a pickle between the classic snack's chocolate wafers. So it's a real pickle.
So it's chocolate, then the real pickle, then
the chocolate cookie
cream, and then the chocolate cookie again.
Was he pregnant? That's nasty.
That is just bad.
No.
Twist the cookie apart, Place the thinly sliced dill pickle on top of the cream filling. Put the cookie back together before dipping the whole concoction in chocolate. So it's all soaked in chocolate. Yes.
I thought you were going to say milk.
And there you go. Now.
Oh, my gosh.
Katie, how do you eat an Oreo?
Just bite into it. I don't break it apart. I know you.
True monster.
What is that?
Bite right into it.
What is it like to do whatever you want and live that way?
It feels good.
You just every Oreo. If someone gave you three Oreos and you ate three Oreos, you would eat all of them just by taking bites.
Just bite right
into
it.
There's no separation. There's no eating the icing. There's no
nothing. No method to the madness. It's just doing it. Mm. It's just doing it, guys. Living la vida loca.
That's crazy.
Totally.
I think you said the same thing whenever I said I just bite into a Twix. Or that's what it was, yeah.
And Kit Kats.
I'll eat Twix and Kit Kat and layers too, but I think that's more abnormal than Oreos.
Yeah,
I think that you just, whether you like deconstruct the Oreo and eat it in a specific way with the icing and the two cookies, I don't know very many people who just eat Oreos by biting them. Like they're biting into a chocolate chip cookie.
What?
No.
I don't think I know a single person that does it except for Katie.
We'll have to take a vote.
Mm-hmm. But she wants the good news first, don't worry.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Good news only. The mullet is back.
The newest
hair trend is the step mullet.
Step mullet? Is it like a version of it?
Mullet. So it's long in the back, like the classic mullet.
How long? Does it matter?
As long as you want it to be, you know?
Okay.
That's personal
preference.
That
makes it
worse. But instead of being super short on the top, you actually have medium length hair. And then you part it in the middle like a bob for women or a 90s skater cut for guys.
Oh, no.
So here it is. Here's some pictures of the...
Let's share it on the Facebook.
Step mullet.
Oh, my gosh. This is so bad.
No. That's the new trend. That's hot. That's not bad.
This cannot be. This is not appealing in any way, shape,
or form. You
don't think so? Yikes.
No?
Tony, there is no way.
I thought you
were. If Grace came to you and said, that's the haircut I want, Dad.
No, and I mean, not me, but I'm an old man. I thought you'd be on the cutting edge of what's happening.
Fashion?
Yeah.
But these are women.
I thought you'd be in the style. Yeah, women can have mullets.
Yikes.
Yeah, but women don't have mullets as much as men have mullets.
Yeah, well, they
I think
can.
The percentage of mullets that are worn are by men.
That looks
higher.
Very
the
stuff futuristic.
Mullet can be worn by a man as well, if you read the description. But yeah, the pictures given there are female step mulleters.
This makes me mad.
Yeah.
I just don't understand
mullet, though, is a very,
fashion sometimes.
Is a very
you know, mullets
real
will
thing.
Stop my husband in his tracks. And it's
Did
not-
he have one?
No.
Oh.
Oh,
maybe.
What kind of person do you think I am? No, he had long hair. It was all
for a
long,
brief period of time.
And his
maybe
hair
Jared
was
had
long
one.
Because people kept telling him to cut it. And every time someone said, "When are you going to get a haircut?" that was like a guaranteed, probably 3 or 4 weeks that he wasn't going to get a haircut.
Right.
And that lasted until his hair was down to his shoulders. And I said to him,
"Cut
when
it
we were
out.
Dating." No, I liked it.
What?
Haven't you seen the picture?
I don't think I've seen it that long.
I just told him his hair wasn't allowed to be longer than mine. And he kept,
dang.
Yeah, my hair was, I have long hair, but yeah.
Did no. you have long hair?
My hair doesn't go long.
It doesn't go out.
Does it go?
I think I've seen a picture of
it
you.
Goes
it
out.
Doesn't. Your
curly
hair's all
hair.
Curly and everything.
Right.
It would flop down.
No.
Big old hair.
No, it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a picture of that.
I'm not opposed to long hair on men. It just needs to be
tame.
No, mine is
the right
all,
hair and the right
mine's
guy.
All curls and
yeah.
It
I have
doesn't
some.
Go down.
I have some pictures of long curly hair. Like he's you got a buzz, but
yeah.
like 2-3 inches.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't
me.
Go down.
What
it
was
goes
your
out.
System? Your system was like buzz your hair at a certain time of year and then
yeah,
let it grow until
shave it in the summer and let it grow in the winter. It kind of still
keep
is that
you warm.
Way.
You don't let your hair grow.
That's a smart method.
Anymore?
I had hair in this past winter.
I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember anything than this mm-hmm. look. Anything other than this look right
no,
here.
I had hair this past winter.
Hmm.
Not super long hair. It didn't. It never got a chance to
Tony
grow
that has
far.
Crocs and he had hair.
Mm-hmm.
These are things we need to
in a new mullet.
Crocs right now. No step mullet for me, though. Almost half of people in the United States wear underwear for 2 days or longer.
Half?
Yeah, almost half.
Do they put it back on after they shower?
I would assume so. Or maybe they're not taking showers. Doesn't say.
I can't imagine.
Almost half of Americans say they have worn the same pair of underwear for 2 days or longer, according to a new survey. 13% of Americans have worn the same pair of underwear for more than a week.
Oh my gosh.
13%.
What percent of those 13% are men? 100?
Oh, come on. Like, there's not some gross girls out there.
There are some gross girls.
No, I don't think there are. Women. And if they are, I don't think they're admitting it.
Some gross women out there.
I don't know.
Why are people so lazy? Remember whenever you reported, Tony, that some people weren't, using soap on like their legs and their feet?
Yeah.
Why are people so lazy?
People don't wash their legs. That was like 40% too of people that don't wash their legs.
Crazy.
They say that the soap and the water just rinses down.
Itself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As you're washing the top half.
Here's a picture of Jared on what was close to our first date. Man. It got longer than that.
I remember you showing me that picture of you, but I don't remember Jared in that picture.
Yeah, I'll find more.
Some experts say you should throw away your underwear every year to prevent bacteria.
What?
Build up?
Bacteria? What's wrong with my washer?
It's not doing a job.
I'm doing it.
It's disgusting.
Only 16% of people say that their oldest pair of underwear is more than a year old.
Only...
I need to go shopping more because I have old clothes. I have old socks. I have old underwear. Whatever.
Getting a lot of buildup there.
Oh my gosh.
I'll share this picture. I'm going to download this picture and share it to the Facebook page right now.
Nice.
Husband with long hair. He is going to be so
I could see Tony rocking a mullet.
Mad at me.
Looking like a rock star.
He does look like a rock star. He's very cute. He still is. I'm still a fan of his.
I bet he's all right. Like a rock star. I can't wait to see the picture. You guys remember when Pokemon Go was a thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Some people still play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
A police officer in Seattle spotted a guy parked by the side of the road this past week playing Pokemon Go on 8 phones simultaneously.
What? That's a lot of phones.
He was lucky for him. The officer didn't spot him until he was parked. Because
that might be a life sentence in the state of Illinois now.
He was driving, chasing Pokemon with 8 phones simultaneously.
Gotta catch that Charizard.
The police officer made him put the phone. So he's got this. I'll show you a picture. He created this, like, he cut holes in a big piece of styrofoam so he could hold all 8 phones at once.
He had a contraption.
Yeah, he had a rig.
I feel like the only time you should do that is if you're trying to catch Mew. And I don't know if Mew is even part of Pokemon Go.
The police put him.
I'm just saying.
Is that a kind of Pokemon?
Yeah.
Is it a really rare one?
Yeah, it's like the most powerful Pokemon.
Does it pay you real money?
I don't know. It's just the thrill of it all.
Yeah. We played Pokemon Go in our house because my kids loved it. And my husband and I would drive around because our kids were, that was probably like, 2 years ago, three years ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
And I think it was like 3 years ago,
yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I know. I remember Pokemon Go came out in the summer of 2016 because I was in the Lake of the Ozarks and I had just had Evelyn. So it was 3 years ago. And I downloaded it because I had this like 8-week-old baby in the Ozarks and it was 100 degrees outside. So I would just sit in the car with the baby while we're in the Ozarks. And everybody was talking about it. And I was like, well, I'm just sitting here. I'll download it and check it out.
Play.
We ended up liking it. My kids being small, we'd get in the back of the car, we'd give them our phones, and my husband would drive around and talk to each other.
Yeah.
That was how we dated.
It's fun for a family.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking like, oh, this is cool. And then
2 seconds later,
you're like, okay, yeah. I get it. I get
cool,
how this
cool
works.
Idea.
So here's the picture of the thing. 8 phones simultaneously playing Pokemon Go. It's still a thing.
I love it. Gotta catch them all. Golly, I can't believe people still play.
Mew, eh?
What are the odds that I should ask my husband for permission to post this photo? Because I'm almost done.
I think you should just do it.
Oh, it's happening.
Will he care?
It was his look.
If he does, I'll let him, like, let me have it tonight on Facebook Live. So go like the Facebook page.
So go watch the chaos.
All right, Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. You can see a picture of us August 3rd of 2004, which would have been like, it's about, we had been dating for 3 months at that time. Little did we know that about 12 years, well, that would be 15 years later, we'd still be together. So cute. He's so cute. Go check it out.
True love.
Yeah, it's not a mullet. He's got a hat on, so you can't really see the top of it, but it is not a mullet.
I really thought that he had one. I don't know why.
I'm going to tell him that. He might, maybe the verbal lashing will be of Katie on Facebook Live tonight.
Great.
Tony, I'm going to show you this picture right here. See it? Check it out. See it?
Oh, yeah.
Long-haired Jared, looking good. All right, Dave Glover Show coming up next.